Accession number 28650, Mr. Gordon Mellor, Reel 17. Now, we've got to the point when you were evading in this journey where you were, you'd taken cover in a not very good copse, you know, a little wood.
Yes.
That wasn't providing you with much cover.
No. Nope.
What happened next?
Basically, I stayed there all day. It was misty and foggy first thing in the morning, and the sun eventually broke through. And we had a very nice, sunny, warm day, which was certainly helpful, because I got very cold overnight. the farm workers seemed to come out for their jobs around about the time the sun breaking through, so perhaps it was still early. I really can't remember what time of the morning it was, but not only did they come from the distant farm along the farm track, but they also they appeared in the field above me. It wasn't that I saw them; I heard their voices, and these continued during the day. Exactly what they were doing is anybody's guess. It was probably picking root crops or something of that style, but. I kept my head down. I felt if I sort of showed my head above the top of the cutting there, then I might be spotted. I opened my escape tin up, which we've been supplied with.
Now, tell me what we... I forgot to ask you about this, because it's something you carried every trip.
Oh, yes.
What was in your escape kit?
Well, I can't remember all of it, but... On the top there was a rubber water bottle, sort of like a balloon, only a bit stronger than that. There were Horlicks tablets. There were water purifying tablets. I've got a feeling of some chocolate amongst it. Perhaps there were some other high energy tablets in addition to the Horlicks. I'm not quite sure. But it was... only meant for short time use. There was money as well. There was Dutch, Belgian and French money, which was important. So I put that away in a safe pocket. I had a map which I'd carried in my pockets also. I was still... wearing just what I've been wearing in the plane. That was the battle dress outfit, the sort of grey-blue colouring, collar and tie. I hadn't been wearing a flying kit other than the harness for the parachute and also the helmet with the intercom and oxygen attachments, which I'd left in the plane, of course. I sort of studied the map and tried to make out where we were, and the road I could see was not significant. Along it I saw passing a two-coach tramway railway arrangement. This had woken me up during the beginnings of daylight with a sort of a hoo-ha, hoo-ha, hoo-ha sound, and they seemed to go past at quite irregular intervals, making the warning sound, because I imagine that it went across a lot, quite a bit of farmland and what have you, and also there was other traffic along the road beside the farm track. I have a vague impression that the coaches were yellow and green, or cream and green, but... this is just a flash of memory, which perhaps they were. Looking through the map was not a great deal of help. Anyhow, I sort of came to the conclusion that I was on my own. I'd made no contact with the other members of the crew whatsoever after bailing out. And my decision to head south was, or south and west, was about the best I could do at the moment, whichever... place I was in, then that was going to be a general direction. Switzerland didn't seem to be a very good idea, because one would obviously become beleaguered there, and one would have to wait until the end of the war. On the other hand, it was the closest. So I sort of, in my still rather detached state of mind, decided that Spain was the place to go to. I didn't sort of really take it on board how far it was away. The day passed. I thought a bit about the people on the crew, and I thought, yes, about the eighth member of the crew, a chap called Meade. I'm not sure whether we mentioned him before, only as the second pilot. But he was with us purely for this trip as his first experience of an operation. Unfortunately, he didn't get more than half the operation completed before he was...
Do you know his first... Meade, was it an E at the end? Or
M-E-A-D. It was Mark Meade.
What was he like? Or you wouldn't get much chance to know him.
Well, I didn't know him. The first time I met him was when we met going out to the aircraft. Yes, rather stoical sort of young fella. About my own age, I would have imagined. And he had come onto the station within the last couple of days with his own crew. And this was the usual practice to... give the pilot an initial experience, and I don't know whether he got out of the plane at that time or who got out. That was a bit of a mystery, but I hope they had all managed to get out, of course. The day passed. Can't say what I thought about. I tried to have a odd sleep now and again, and gradually the light faded. And the farm workers tended to be going back towards the farm at the end of their working day. So, and the voices in the field above ceased, and I was there on my own. When the light had diminished sufficiently, I could still see a fair way in front of me. I came out of the copse, dropped down to the field level, and walked over towards the road where the tramway was. And I rather fancied that as I swung out of the westward road the previous part of the evening, that if I took this road opposite and went down southwards, then I would strike the same sort of west running road, which rather appeared as if I did, because I sort of ran into houses and what have you, and I turned along the west running road. This I followed in the same manner as I had the previous evening, and if anything came along the road, it's usually odd cyclists, then I took cover as best I could against the dark of a hedge or in the rather dry ditch. Eventually, I thought, well, we'd better sort of get away and head south a bit more. So I arbitrarily took a road which appeared on the left and proceeded there. I ran in. I ran into a village. It obviously was still fairly early in the evening, because going through what appeared to be the main road, I went past a cafe or a stabenet or whatever they called them, and there was a bit of jollity going, and there's a certain amount of light crept out from the front of the place, and I was tempted in a way to sort of go and sort of see to make myself known and see what help I could get, but I reasoned that it was not on. There must have been several people there, and it would put them in a difficult position in any case. So I pressed on. The men came past me.
Do you know the name of that village? I mean, is it Millen?
Millen, I think it was, but I didn't know at the time. That's a subsequent bit of information. A man came past, smoking, and said, "Good evening, sure," something of that style. And I sort of grunted a reply, and he pressed on, and so did I in the opposite direction. This was a general track of events during that night. I went down one road, and it was heading away to the east, and I thought, this is not going to be good. So I turned back, and I think I must have suffered for some sort of a delusion in some way, because I'm looking at the trees on one side of the road, and there's the fields on the other. Then all the trees all seemed to be cut into familiar shapes. They couldn't have been. They were forest trees, as far as I could tell, and quite high. And I think that was just my imagination playing tricks with me. Anyhow, I came back, I suppose, half a mile, three quarters of a mile, and there was a fork in the road there, and I took the one which was appeared to be most advantageous to me, and we again pressed off southwest. I passed through other odd collections of houses, and at one point I thought, well, perhaps I ought to cut across Crunty a bit. We're getting a bit too far just west. So I went through some fields and over the top and dropped down to another road. And eventually, the night had well passed by then. I thought, yes, it's about time I was thinking about finding somewhere for the next day. And I was descending into a valley, and I could see it was dark down below there, and I could just see across the other side of the valley the tops of the hills, which were still in moonlight. So I turned off the road along a level patch of grass, and I became aware that there were fences there, and I thought, well, that's funny. So I had a closer look and realised that I was walking along the on the field side of a number of gardens which were had come up the side of the hill. So presumably there were houses further down. The garden seemed to get a bit shorter, and I could see houses down there, and I turned into one of the gardens because the fence and the hedging was a bit rickety, and much to my surprise I saw there was a cave there. It was cut into the hillside. It wasn't very big.
This is near the village of Haute Vinove,
yes,
according to the map.
Yeah, or Glons, there, Haute Vinove, yes.
Sorry, you said you spotted this cave.
Cave, yes. The it wasn't very high. I suppose the entrance was about 3 foot six, 4 foot high. I sort of poked around a bit. There was still a certain amount of light from the moon there that was getting setting. And I thought, well, there's some trays here that they must have put fruit or something in them, and there seemed to be space. So I crawled in there and settled myself down. Subsequently, as the light broke, then of course I saw there was old apples in the trays and what have you, and obviously it was used as a bit of a store place by the owners of the property down below. And the gardens was quite steeply sloped down to the back of the house, as were all the others. Again, it turned out to be quite a nice day, and I spent the day in the cave there. There was nothing to eat. I think I probably dispatched the rest of the Horlicks tablets and what have you. And I took note of where I was. There was houses and a road on the front side of the houses. There was a river. And there, further across, there was a railway line. And I could see what I thought was a railway station, and to the left of it was a level crossing, a road crossing over the railway.
That would be Auburnt. I'm not sure how you pronounce these things, obviously.
Well, Auburnt. It's not far enough away. It's still, I would have thought, part of Auvernave.
Okay, sorry.
It's not very far. This is just visual distance from where I was sitting. And the road went across the railway, swung round sharply to the right, and followed a long straight bit and a sweeping curve round the edge of the hillside opposite. I thought that road was quite significant in its shape, so I sort of studied the map that I had. And sure enough, there it showed, much to my surprise, because it was not a very good scale. It covered the whole of Belgium and France and what have you. So there it was on a general map. So I thought, right, that's my way to go. The rest of the day was non-productive, if you can put it that way. And as soon as the light was fading, I came out of the cave, thankful that the owner hadn't come up the garden. In fact, I didn't see anybody gardening there at all. October perhaps wasn't a good period for gardening, except clearing up. Anyhow, I retraced my steps to the road and followed it down. I went under a railway bridge and along the bottoms of the road at the bottom of the houses. There was a narrow meadow there, and I thought, well, yes, I haven't had anything to drink for some time. Let's go see what the river's like. So I went down to the edge of the river with the idea perhaps of filling the water bottle. Then I thought, well, I don't know what the water's like, whether it's any good or not. And I also took a note of the bank, and it was practically vertical, and I would be sort of dropping down a few feet, 5 or 6 feet. Now I'd probably be in water and I'd have a job getting out. So I discarded the whole idea, came back out of the field onto the road again, and made my way through the town, or the outskirts of the town, perhaps we should say, up towards the road crossing the railway. There seemed to be a little bit of activity up by the station, but not very significant. There's the odd sound of a train there, but again, it was stationary. And I had kept a watch on the situation of the rail crossing during the day, and the traffic did go up and over it. But at this particular time, it seemed to be pretty well devoid of traffic or of people. There was a certain amount of light there, so I had to pass through the lighted area. I didn't rush it. I just walked through at a normal pace, hoping that people would just think, oh, it's another person of the village. But nobody accosted me, and I got up onto this road which ran along the side of the hill and round the bend. I noticed there were some crops in the field close to this bend, and I went stepped down a bit and had a look, but it was only swedes and stuff like that, and they were most unpleasant to eat raw, as I'd found potatoes were. I'd also come across the odd carrots, but they were the rubbish largely left in the fields at that time, so they weren't very good and very indigestible. So natural vegetables were uncooked ones, not very satisfactory. I proceeded on south, keeping out of people's way if anybody was approaching. And I went through a village called Pyfre, or something like that. P-A-I-V-E-R-E or something, I believe
that's,
it is.
Yes, that's on the route, yeah.
I went through there, and not long after that, I found I was bearing away to the east of it. So I cut across to some fields to another road, which I had sort of appeared. I could reason to see it by the trees along it. And I got onto that. And it appeared to be much more of a main road. I proceeded down there, and again, I thought it was getting well past midnight. So I turned off to the right, and I'd seen a place under the road to which one could hide, I suppose, quite a large bore drain, but it didn't really sort of sell itself to me as a hiding place, so I carried on. I went past what appeared to be a strong fortress of some sort. Now, I believe there is, I subsequently saw on the map that there is some sort of arrangement there. And
that'd be Fort Delantin, I presume.
Yes, yes. That's what I spotted from the map, and what I could see in what little light there was. And I then followed the road round and entered the small town, large village of Longtan. I wandered along through there, generally following my direction of which I wanted to go. I did see some lights in a house. And they were very faint. The curtains were drawn, and this was creeping out through a slit in the or a gap in the curtains. And I sort of went over and had a look in, and it was just, I saw into the room. I couldn't see anybody there, and it looked a bit official. I thought I won't knock there, and I then proceeded on, and going down the road. I heard water running. I thought, what's that? So I followed my instincts and turned up in an alleyway. And there was a few feet up, 20 feet perhaps. There was a water butt, which was full of water. And there appeared to be fresh water running into it. It couldn't have been rainwater because we hadn't had any rain. But certainly there was water in it. So I thought, right, I'll fill the water bottle. It tasted all right. And I was just about to do so when I heard steps on the road. There was a bit of a crunchy noise, so I stood where I was, and suddenly at the entrance to this alleyway, just standing in the middle of the main road there, was somebody in uniform. Got a pink sort of cap on, and he appeared to be in uniform. He was standing in the moonlight, as it was, and I was half in and half out in the in this alleyway. So I thought, well, if I move, he's going to see the movement. So I just sort of crouched down very slowly so that my image didn't appear to change, and I just stood still, and he stood there looking up and down the main road. He looked up the alleyway. He must have heard the water running. Eventually, he sort of gave off and moved on up in further into town.
Could you tell if he was a German soldier or?
No, I couldn't. I thought perhaps he was just one of the local police or something like that. I couldn't. It's just that he just looked as if he was in uniform, and that was it. And it wasn't a risk to take. I carried on down the road, and I thought, well, where do I stop? And close by was a house. Whether it had been bombed or whether it had just deteriorated over the years, I don't know. But there was a way in, so I went in. And certainly it was in a bad state. There was bricks on the floor and there was rubble and stuff. And there was a staircase, so I went up the staircase and into a room. And I felt my way across it. Because I thought it was rather unsafe, and so it was, because there was a great big hole in the middle of the floor there, probably 4 feet across. I don't know what caused it at all, but it was there, and so I went across to by the front wall where there was a window I could see out, and I was hidden, so I thought this is as good a place as any, so I kipped down on the wooden floor. I didn't wake up until it was broad daylight and there were people going up and down the road. I saw a milk cart being pulled by an Alsatian dog, which was new to me, but I knew they did have them in Belgium. And there was the usual sort of bustle of the town. And nobody came. I stayed there until sometime later on in the afternoon, I mean, presumably the children came out of school, and a couple of young boys came in down below and started playing around. I thought, well, let's hope they don't come upstairs. But they didn't, but they were throwing bits and pieces around, and then suddenly half a brick came up through the hole and onto the floor, and then another one. And that was the sole attempt that they had at doing anything, and they went off and left me there to it. So once it got dark again, and the number of people on the road and outside diminished, people went home for their evening meals, and then I pressed on down the same way as I was going, which was slightly downhill. One had a tendency to go downhill rather than up, I think, and passed out of the village.
That's the village of Lenant, Lantin, rather.
Lantin, yes.
Wrong way around.
Yes. I went along the road onto a lane, still heading west, and I don't know how far I went. I went some little way, and suddenly the heavens opened. We're in the middle of a thunderstorm. It just sort of bucketed it down, and I got soaked in quite a short time. So I thought, oh well, this is not going to do me any good. So I go back to the house and dry off. It cost me a day perhaps, but I'll see if I can get dry there, because the house had every appearance of not being of not sort of letting the water in too much. Anyhow, as I walked back, I came to another road joined from the right hand side, and opposite there, near enough, the house was got some lights on upstairs. So I imagined that it must have been 9 or 10 o'clock at night, people going to bed. There was only a slit of light showing, but I banged on the door. I was feeling pretty sort of low one way or another, being so wet. And he'd came out of the window above, wanting to know who it was and what I wanted. Well, that's how I interpreted what was said. So I said, yeah, it was just we, RAF, and Mayday or something, please help. Anyhow, the window sort of shut again, and suddenly the door opened, and I stood there, and there was, yeah, a bit of light coming out, and I'd already taken my badges of rank and the wings and what have you off, but I had those in my hand, and I showed him. And I showed him where they'd come off, because the uniform was still newish underneath when I sewed them on. And the position of the stripes and the light showed on the shoulder, on the arms. So he took me in, and we went into a back room there, where they got one of these big stoves that are common on the continent, which heated the room and the house as well, and I was very grateful for that. I explained as best I could who I was, and then his wife came downstairs, and we had a little confab, and they sat me down and gave me some food. I don't know what they gave me, I can't remember. I can remember I had some ersatz coffee, and I felt much more cheerful, getting warm.
Now, where exactly was this? This Mr. and Mrs. Van
Mayen, Van Mayen.
Is that M-E-E-U-W-E-N?
Yes.
And is this at Allure?
Not really, it's between.
Right.
Between
Allure and Lantin.
Yes, it was on the Lantin Road.
Is it near Lantin?
Yes.
Right.
So... They didn't actually say...
Now, in your thing, it mentions passing through a German AK-AK battery.
Oh, well, I haven't come on to that yet.
Oh, sorry, no. It just mentioned the rainstorm.
I sort of pressed on a bit on the rainstorm, and then I'd come back.
Right.
Anyhow, I got in with the Van Mayens there.
And how did they react to it? I mean, you must admit, of course, you were putting them under considerable danger.
Yes. I appreciated this. And they gave me some food, and they were not Yes, they were very welcoming. They were true patriots, there's no doubt about that. But they did have a young son of about 10 or 11. And I was not aware of what they did when they went out of the room, but obviously they had made communication with the vicar of Allure,